Well, sometimes they have to kill us. They have to kill us. Because they can't break our spirit.
Look, I don't have to do this.
You don't have any choice.
I'm trying to help you people. Now, why won't you accept that?
It's in our DNA. You have to do what old man says.
What makes you such a threat?
We choose the right to be who we are. We know the difference between the reality of freedom and the illusion of freedom. There's a way to live with Earth and a way not to live with Earth. We choose the way of Earth. It's about power, Ray.
You have been led by the Spirit to Prophecy Keepers Radio, a cooperative service of the White Roots of Peace Council. Whether it be the modern Asaga of Peru, the current Kahunas of Hawaii, today's medicine people of the Americas, the Holy Ones of Africa, shamans of the East, North, West, and South, or the present-day Anahuacis of the Cherokee, we bring you the traditional elders and teachers of our modern times and their confidants from the Americas, the steppes of Asia, the Holy Land, the islands of the sea, Africa, and Australasia. We have not been conquered, and we defy the established order. This is Will Bluewater, the host of Prophecy Keepers Radio, speaking on behalf of the White Roots of Peace Council.
It's the 500-year resistance. You can't break the connection. Follow? It's the 500-year resistance. You can't break the connection. Follow? It's the 500-year resistance. You can't break the connection. Follow?
Friends, this is your co-host, Will Bluewater. Join us now to learn how to legally worship using indigenous earth-based healing and empowering ceremonies. Aho. As Bluewater, seventh great-grandson of Old Tassel, first beloved man of the Cherokee, I'm remembering what Old Tassel said to the prevailing culture. Many proposals have been made to us to adopt your laws, your religion, your manners, and your customs. We have done so. Now it is time for our cultures to accept Old Tassel's ways and assisting us to walk in harmony with Mother Earth and Father Sky. Aho.
Grandfather, teach me the ways of the old, so that I may remember who I am.
Osleo Ginalii, can you hear me, folks? Hello?
Yep.
Okay, good deal. We've had problems with, I forgot the obligatory Osio Ginli to Ishu Tahigu. I'm fine. How are you? And this is Will Bluewater and Prophecy Keepers Radio. Tonight, our guest is Mayor Cromwell. She's an award-winning author, Gaia mystic, healer, and international speaker. And we were just cutting up on the phone before we got online. We're going to have some fun tonight. And but actually... we're going to, some places they say release the drone. We're going to release the mark. We're going to release the badger. And he's gonna tell us about Mayor.
Where's the badger sound? Oh, there we go.
There it is. Okay.
Oh my gosh.
Oh, Marin a badger. We'll find out who. I've seen things end badly with badgers from like mules. So better watch you don't stomp you.
Okay, I'm ready. I'm ready for badgers.
Especially the honey badgers, right?
Oh gosh.
I saw one. They showed a honey badger, and he was going in after bees and stuff. He was just walking right in there and grabbing stuff. And another one, he was going up in a tree getting a cobra, I think. They got bit by the cobra, and, yeah, the honey badger passed out for, you know, 30, 45 minutes. And then he woke up and kept eating the snake. So, yeah, they are
wow.
Pretty almost indestructible.
Yeah.
And they have almost zero fear.
Well, yeah,
they
why?
Aren't scared
why
of
would
anything.
Oh, wow.
Anyway, so in the traditional day count, she was born on a day called Three Ahau. And Ahau is the glyph of the sun. The three signifies a lot about creativity and especially the what we call the right brain energy. You know, abstract, not the logical, rational side, but the other side that just kind of picks up on things, intuitive and stuff, right? So, and then the sun, of course, so, which is kind of, I guess, self-obvious what that would mean. And so we'll go into the sixth sun reading, sixth sun Zolkin, and it will have three components, as most of our listeners probably have heard several times, going forward in time, our normal perspective on time, but also the backward flow that we don't pick up on with our normal senses, but psychics and stuff can tune into that time flow, and where the two time flows come together into what we call a balancing or a zero point. So we'll do the forward flow of time first. And what's interesting is in hers, it's the same as the traditional Mayan day count, a three Ahau. It's an exact match. That happens sometimes with people, but not real, real often.
Yeah.
So that would seem to indicate that that particular component for her actually is very important for bridging the cycles from one world to the next. It's a very key component. It's been winter since birth. It'll tell us a little bit more about that connection with the sun, though, in this Zolkin. And so these are things probably been following along ever since she came into the world, maybe even a little bit before that. things that have to do with life, bringing in life, courage. I wouldn't doubt that growing up, she probably was, you know, a little bit more of inner courage and strength, and, you know, probably got her in trouble sometimes too, but she could probably stand up for herself or whatever it is she believed in, and, you know, on one level or another, fight for it. But there was a component there that balances out.
I just, if you got a mug shot, I'd like to see it later off the air. I was just kidding.
But that courage in that fighting spirit is balanced by a tendency for doing service to people, service to others. So probably is, you know, would jump in and help other people too. A lot there with also opening up pathways, just wisdom, free will, and stuff like that. Potentially probably picked up quite a bit of knowledge on things, you know, above, you know, beyond what we would normally think of. Probably has a preponderance or a tendency to be very active or a lot of action, get things done and make things happen, stuff like that, you know. So now on the backward flow, this part would be more things happened recently in life. And we say around 1997, 1998, a little bit before, a little bit after that, somewhere in there, showing up more, recently, so these things might, and they, it has to do with things about exploring teaching, especially teaching people kind of to wake up and see stuff, right? An element here of prophecy, especially these things about waking up and prophecy and things, when they, especially when they tie in with community, cooperation of people, having things kind of connect and flow together, work with each other, may have had some kind of, on one level or another, some kind of unusual connection with water that was some kind of experience or something there that may be significant. May not yet have happened, though. I'm not sure about that. A lot here about two other very important words that kind of would just keywords sum everything up. Truth and balance. Those two words would be very significant. Let me see if I can find out anything more about those. Give me just a second. It has to do with the truth and balance. Also have to do with a connection between a kind of a working with soul, joy, forgiveness, and creator. All that kind of, that's a counterbalancing agent to the prophecy and the cooperation and stuff. That's the partnering energies that work with that. So a lot about maybe helping people connect with Creator, learning forgiveness, and help have that bring about balance and joy and stuff to those people and to the other people that might be connected or involved. That would seem to be a fairly significant thing. Where these two time flows come together and create the balancing or the zero point, hers is, I would say, two key words. I'll go into a little bit more detail, but the two key words would be light and purpose. Those two words. And they have to do with kind of a song of being, just being, you know, like, you know, melody or song or something. It's like a flower blooming, it's just blooming. It's just being a flower and blooms, right? And expanding the will, purpose, and there's an element here of discipline and light, especially not just any old light, but the fundamental part of light, a spiral radiating type of light, radial light, that actually is how Creator forms our entire reality. Similar in a sense to the way a hologram is made. So if you read the book, there's a book called, it's one of the first books, but it's still pretty good, called The Holographic Universe by Michael Talbot. You might be very interested in that book. This purpose and discipline and all this blooming and expanding and stuff, it has another kind of thing that's working with it, singing like in a chorus or partnering energy of peace. Peace, childlikeness, and hope. And it has components here on a bigger cycle that govern all of this about giving, birthing things, bringing things in, and intention of that. The importance of the intention literally giving birth to something that pops up in reality. So, you know, it's a green glyph, so it was, the green color would relate to the green that they talk in the heart chakra. So a lot there about kind of basically in a nutshell purpose of helping create, bring, birthing peace, I guess, is one, a simple way in a nutshell to say it. But in the course of doing that, it's going to be tapping into some of the, to do it well, tapping into some of the fundamental basic ways that Creator forms our reality and connecting into that with your intention and purposes of where you're wanting to go. Does that make any sense?
Well,
Yeah. I mean, very interesting. This is not, this is not a badger I'm talking to. this is pretty fascinating, and I sense pretty spot on.
You also have to look in the Hopi story. They have a badger clan.
Oh.
And in their story, the Hopi were coming out of, I believe it was South America, in the jungles there, and they were migrating north. And I don't know how many clans there were, maybe two or three, or it didn't say in the stories I heard, but there was a girl, very young, 4 or 5 years old, that was sick and dying. And some of the Hopi went out into the jungle or forest or whatever, and they were trying to figure out a cure, right? And they come up on a badger. And the badger teaches them, gives them the knowledge of the plants or plant to give to the young girl to save her. And so they do that, and the young girl survives. So the clan renames themselves to be Badger Clan. And that's how the Badger Clan of the Hopi tribe got their name.
Very interesting. Huh. Fascinating. Thank you.
So in the Hopi, badger is actually considered a healing animal, and it's really at the same level of healing power as the bear clan, which is considered their strongest clan. But the badger clan is, in some cases, considered to be on the same level as the bear clan.
Very fascinating. Wow. I'll just say wow. You said Michael Talbot's book is, would you say, Holographic Universe?
Called The Holographic Universe. It was one of the first books out that was talking about the things that were discovered in quantum science in terms of our reality. And he mentioned people like David Bohm and Carl Prebram and stuff, people like that.
Uh-huh.
And and the book is still held up very well. There's people that have written books since then that had more, you know, ability to tap in and get more information, but his book is still very good, I think. Has a lot of good things that make you think.
Fascinating. Fascinating. Thank you.
The time cures, tell us about yourself, anything that might come to mind, and we won't interrupt unless you gasp or something.
So you're saying to me, just launch into my.
The time is yours, and along the way we'll poke a little fun at you. How's that sound?
Sounds great. Your connection's a little muffled. I'm understanding. I think I'm understanding what you're saying. That again.
Is this any better?
That's much better.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I had to go to, I got bumped off the air and had to go to a cell phone. That's why you're going to.
Okay.
Anyway, go ahead and tell us, anything you want everybody to know.
tell you anything. Oh, my gosh. That's like wide open. Oh, gosh. Well, it was fascinating listening to, and I'm sorry I didn't record your friend's name. Is it Mac? Mark. About my
Mark.
Sorry?
Mark,
yeah, thanks. You know, what I am these days is something I never, ever thought I would be doing when I was younger. Essentially, I work very, very closely with Earth Mother, and so I sometimes use the term Gaia Mystic or Gaia Communicator. I've studied with Native American teachers for more than 20 years now and some other gifted spiritual teachers. And in early June of 2012, right after I was diagnosed with lymphoma, enlarged lymph nodes, which is a form of cancer, literally 4 days later, I was already scheduled to do a ceremony with a pretty gifted Algonquin man. And Earth Mother had requested that he and I do this ceremony together, just the two of us. And said to him that this ceremony was going to be healing for her. And we didn't know what that meant. That sounded rather auspicious and puzzling. But I met with this Algonquin medicine person, medicine man in New England, and was pretty much freaking out because I'd just gotten the diagnosis. And he said to me just prior to the ceremony, he said, you know, I'm going to be bringing Earth Mother's energy and her consciousness into your energy body, but I don't know how you're going to disconnect. And the truth of the matter is that Earth Mother and I have never disconnected. And so what I said to him at the moment when he told me that was I wasn't worried because I know my life is to serve Earth Mother. And I have for many years been an environmentalist. And then in 1996, that's when I started. I met a Cherokee medicine woman and started studying with her for 14 years. I apprenticed with her for 14 years. So this sort of question about serving Earth Mother was kind of moot because I felt like I've known this has been my life purpose for a long time. But I didn't know what was going to play out as a result of that ceremony. And what happened right after the ceremony is Earth Mother started communicating with me very, very clearly, just like my having a conversation with someone across the room. And really odd things started happening, which when you really start working closely with spirit and you've surrendered to spirit, people may term them odd things or magical things or miraculous things. One of the first things that happened is, and mind you, again, here I am with this diagnosis of lymphoma. I went to see a really gifted healer who's a friend of mine. She works with sound evoked healing. And at the end of the session, I could hear the dolphins and feel them come into the room spiritually. And they said to me, you must go to the ocean. You must go to the ocean. And I live in Maryland, so the ocean's not that far. And actually right now I'm just about 2 miles from the ocean because I came to Chincoteague and Assateague again this weekend for a break. And so I asked my friend, the healer, to play that piece again. And the piece was of the recording of the waves on the beach. It's a very common recording people have for meditative purposes, for relaxation. And when she played it again, it wasn't just a dolphin spirit that came in. It was a dolphin and a whale spirit that both came in. And they both said, you must go to the ocean. And I knew this was a message from Earth Mother. And so I went 2 weeks later and did ceremony the whole time and pretty much was in an altered state the entire 2 nights and 3 days, and Mother came through very, very clearly and essentially told me that I needed to put the book aside that I was working on, which was, you know, partly about my healing journey because I'd had a diagnosis year before with one enlarged lymph node. She said that I needed to put that book aside and that I was to write another book, and she gave me the title and she gave me the entire table of contents. And one night, she also gave me her first message. And the book is called Messages from Mother, Earth Mother. And the first message that she gave me, which ironically was after first the dolphins gave me a message, and then the whales gave me a message too, and then Mother stepped in. And this is all in the middle of the night. I'm just like wildly writing on this big pad of paper, you know, just writing, listening and writing. And so that book was written in 5 weeks, right after that weekend. It just poured through me because it was just tuning into Mother and writing and tuning in and writing, and not much editing was needed. And literally it was done in 5 weeks as a manuscript, and then I had it printed. I have my own publishing company, a small publishing company, so I knew how to put a book out, and it was printed, designed and printed about a month and a half after that. So literally the book was written and published in about, 4 and a half months. Kind of a blitzkrieg writing approach. But it won a couple of national awards, and one of the aspects of the book that I want to point out is that I was pretty nervous, actually rather anxious, I should say, about letting the world know that I was, that I had this new relationship with Earth Mother where I was talking with her all the time. And one of the things Earth Mother said to me, before I go there, let me just follow that train of thought. So the book is written from the perspective of a woman named Sarah. And Mother gave me the name. She said, you need to use Sarah. And so the book is written in the approach that Sarah meets Earth Mother in the forest. And Earth Mother asks Sarah to take messages to give to the world. And so I'm essentially Sarah. But at that time, I wasn't ready to tell the world that it's I'm there talking with Earth Mother. It was really freaking me out, actually. But I put the book out. But one of the things that Mother said to me early on in writing the book and this newfound or this relationship of working so closely with her, she said, if you surrender to me, I will help you heal so you don't have to work with the doctors and any chemotherapy or radiation or whatever they give people with lymphoma. And so that was the deal, that I surrendered, and I have continued to surrender and surrender and surrender. And to the point of putting out another book, which is much bigger and far more in-depth, I call it my doozy. It's the doozy of the three books I have, because the first book came out actually in 2002, before the Mother series started, so to speak. My first book's called If I Gave You God's Phone Number, What Would You Do With It? No, I'm sorry. It's called If I Gave You God's Phone Number, Searching for Spirituality in America. And it's based on the question, if I gave you God's phone number, what would you do with it? And that actually won a couple of national awards, too. So getting to my third book, and feel free, Blue Otter, to jump in with any questions. I mean, I don't want everyone to be bored by my just...
Well, no, we're listening intently.
Okay. So the third book... Again, it was not my idea, it was Mother's idea. And she told me in the fall of 2013, after messages from Mother Earth Mother had been out for a year, and it was doing okay, but it wasn't great, great sales. She said, I thought I was going to move to Washington State and work with a gifted medicine woman out there. I don't know if you know her, her name's Robin Youngblood. She's part Okanogan, part Cherokee. Anyway, so I thought I was going to move out the West Coast, and then Mother woke me up at 5 in the morning in November 2013 and said point blank, you're not moving to Washington State, you're going to stay here in Maryland and write the Great Mother Bible. And I balked, I resisted. I think anybody who has followed the path of surrender, there's going to be resistance. There are going to be times that Spirit or Earth Mother or your ancestors or whoever ask you to do things, it's quite human and natural to go, I don't really think I'm going to do that. And then they push you, they kind of kick you in the butt. And Mother's really good at kicking me in the butt. So I stayed in Maryland because I'm like, okay, well, I've surrendered to you and you're helping me heal from lymphoma, which essentially I have healed from. Without working with the doctors. My physician, the rare times I see him, he's still like, how did you do this?
We're glad to hear that.
Yeah, it's really an adventure. And yet, again, I could go off on another tangent here and tell you about all sorts of miraculous healings I've had. Trees giving me healings, ceremonies that have manifested spontaneously with healings. But anyway, so the Great Mother Bible, whoa. It's a powerful book. I had one person tell me shortly after it came out, the first printing, he was holding it in his hand, and he said, the energy in this book is so powerful. This is living text, living word. And I didn't know what that meant. And he said, well, you know how in the movie sometimes you see these sacred Hebrew words and they catch on fire and all the ashes go to the bottom of the screen? I said, yeah. He says, well, that's the energy of this book. And it's won a couple of national awards. It came out in spring of 2015. And it's honestly conversations between me and Earth Mother. And I had to, in the Great Mother Bible, find the courage to put to the world that I'm there and working this closely with Earth Mother. And when the messages, when the conversations first started about 6 weeks after Mother told me that November 2013, when it first started January 2nd, 2014, I was rather blown away because the first voice that I heard, and again, it was like wake up at 5:30, wake up at 4:30. I mean, it was like a whole series for a couple months there of just writing intensively and communicating with Mother. And I was, you know, burning through my savings doing this. But the first voice I heard was not Earth Mother. It was the great divine Mother, as in the feminine aspect of creation. She came in first, which I was just taken back by, but I could tell it wasn't Earth Mother because of the tone of her voice and her energy. So she started out talking with me, and then she passed it over to Earth Mother after, I think it was like 2 days, I can't remember exactly. And then Earth Mother took over from there. But the Great Divine Mother said she would be speaking to Earth Mother part of the time, you know. So it's a series of conversations between me and Mother, and teachings. And your friend Mark kind of hit the nail on the head with some of the things that he spoke about out of the Mayan reading he gave me, because my work with Mother is about teaching people to wake up. And what's also curious is that a rather gifted elder that I know, and I don't feel right using his name on the air here, told me this spring, and he knows the prophecies really well. He said that my work is in the prophecies, that there would be somebody who is working as closely with Mother as I am and has surrendered to her to the level that I have to be a voice for her. And when he told me that this spring, I just looked at him. I went, whoa. I said, okay, that's rather humbling to hear. So I'm honored to actually be on your show, because your show is called Prophecy Keepers. And I guess this is all rather mind-boggling for me. I mean, I'm this white woman that grew up on the East Coast in Baltimore, and, you know, it's like, I didn't know.
That's okay. Well, you know, my uncle graduated from the Naval Academy in 45, so.
Okay.
I was raised culturally. I was raised white, but you know, when I was 16, I was given my Cherokee genealogy and didn't know anything about it until, eventually got married and had a child. And then in the mid-80s, things started happening. And after I turned 30, I was born in 54, and after I turned 30, I had a dream, and it was just this Indian guy, you know, sitting. There was a short table between the two of us, and we're both sitting or reclining, and I just remember he had a round pockmarked face, and big dude, and he had a chain around his neck, and it was a white loosened stone with his name written in the stone, and there was a key embedded in the stone, but I wasn't allowed to remember the name after the dream. And all he said was, when are you going to do something about Gardner Green's genealogy? So that started, you know, very quickly. And of course, you know what happened in the mid-80s with a lot of Native American films and stuff. So I just started hanging around with Indians, and eventually by hook or crook, I can't figure out which creator, you know, got us from the Intermountain West back east, and then, you know, that was 1999. But you know, along the way, you know, I was told some things that were going to happen, and there's still some things that my first wife passed away of cancer, and but yeah, it's really strange once you figure out that you got a connection, then you really got to start watching, you know, everything for little things that might be going on. Tell us some more about yourself.
Well, gosh, you know, I'll tell you this, that Earth Mother is kicking me in the butt right now in a really, really, really big way. And last fall, I was on Facebook last fall one evening and just read a blip on this one posting in a group of women raising money for reforestation called Tree Sisters. And they had just a little piece on their post about when 1,000 goddesses unite, it will bring the sacred feminine back into the earth. And as soon as I read that, Mother, Earth Mother, said to me, and she always talks in the left side of my left ear, she said, and you're going to do that in the physical. I'm going to organize that in the physical. And I went, oh, okay, well, all right, so you're going to help make this happen, right, because I can't do this by myself. And she's always like, oh, yes, 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 I will help. So she gave me that mission, the mission in late fall 2015, and I first thought we were going to do it in 2016, and then I realized, no, that's too fast, and I'm not ready for that. And then, so this summer, I started working with a partner to plan for 2017 to organize it, and then good old Earth Mother, she loves to wake me up really early in the morning. So at the end of July, just a month and a half ago or so, she said, oh, this event, the goddesses, 1,000 goddesses, needs to happen this fall in D.C. It's not supposed to be out at some rural retreat center out in the countryside. It needs to be in D.C. this fall before the election. Boom. okay, and then, of course, I said, and you're going to make this happen, right? You're going to help because I can't do this by myself. That's an absolutely huge job. And she said, don't worry, yes. And so since that time, late July, just this summer, I have kind of gone from 25 miles an hour in my life to, you know, poking along, doing events, book signings, you know, promoting my book, have a healing practice, seeing clients. Well, let's just say that all that's been put on the bookshelf, bad pun, and I have basically ramped up my productivity to about 185 miles per hour to manifest this event on the National Mall in the center of D.C., right at the base of the Washington Monument. And so I already have, we have committees of people working on it. We have the permit from the Park Service. We actually got that in a day, which is unheard of.
Wow.
Yeah. And, you know, I actually filed a permit with the Capitol Police because we thought we were going to go there, too, in addition to going to the White House. But we rescinded the Capitol Police one because it's too far for us to go. But this is the thing, is that I don't need to tell you guys about how the world is so out of balance. And, again, that's one of the things your friend Mark picked up on, truth and balance. I'm like, darn, he is spot on. Because the purpose of this event is to actually call in the divine feminine, all the various goddesses from various traditions, including the great divine mother, sort of the big kahuna, and to invoke all of them and pull them in spiritually and ground their energies deep into the earth by having close to 1,000 goddesses there, with men as sacred guardians. And Earth Mother, when she first gave me the message last fall, she started waking up really early, which is her way of really getting me and informing me of her vision, what she wants me to do. And she said, men need to be there. Men have to be there as sacred guardians. And the initial vision she gave me was of, you know, 1,000 women around a sacred fire in the center with the men on the outside, the sacred guardians, and basically dancing and drumming and holding medicine staffs and stomping the ground to bring the divine feminine in. And so things have evolved since those first sort of downloads, and we're still going to make this a very high vibration event. And Mother has guided me to reach out to an extraordinarily gifted high priestess named Omileye. And Omileye, you may want to interview her for your show at some point. She is a oracle who works extremely closely with Oshan. And she's been coordinating water ceremonies and teaching people about water ceremonies for years. And she's very highly accomplished and recognized, I think, by the UN. And I don't really know all of her credentials and her background, but she's extraordinary. And we're going to have her come and help lead the ceremonial aspect. So the whole day is going to be ceremony. So she actually went into a trance with Oshan back in late April, early May of this spring, and was given visions of what's coming down the pike on the earth if we don't really start to shift things. And one of the visions she was also given and the instructions was she needed to meet with this major oracle, and she realized after she came out of the trance, which was very, very painful, her body was in pain for days, she realized that she needed to go meet with the Tibetan state oracle, who's the Dalai Lama's oracle. And she was able to raise the money in really rapid order. I thought it was just 10 days. I think it was closer to like 2 weeks, 2.5 weeks. She was able to raise enough money for her and her husband and her 5-year-old daughter to fly to India to meet with Putan La, who's the Dalai Lama's oracle, state oracle of Tibet. And when she met with him, he said, and he heard her story of all the visions she was given by Oshan, all the messages. He said, just 2 days before you came, I received the same messages and the same visions from my, as an oracle with who I work with. And so Omileye's work is very profound right now. And I know there are a lot of people around the planet who are very, very gifted, working on all sorts of levels with ceremony and prayer and myriad of ways to help bring balance back into there, to help ameliorate what's coming down the pike, because it's, you know, we live in such fascinating times, interesting times, scary times, choose your term. But Omileye is going to be part of this event in D.C., and she got the specific message to teach people how to do ceremony to the mothers of the four elements. And this is not what I have studied with any of the native teachers I've studied with, but I'm realizing the significance of this and starting to connect with these mothers too, actually, in the ceremonies I do. So this event in D.C. is going to have an altar on the National Mall in the quadrant that we're in, just below the Washington Monument. We're going to have the goddess. The goddess is coming to Washington, D.C. at the base of the Washington Monument, which you know is one of the largest phallic system symbols in the world.
Yeah, I was going to say.
yeah, no coincidence here. So we're basically going to be bringing a whole lot of people together, and we're going to invoke the goddess, and we're going to sing, we're going to learn how to do some dances, we're going to chant, we're going to go to the White House and basically embrace the White House with compassion and wisdom. It's a compassion and wisdom gathering. And then we're going to come back and we're going to focus on the Capitol building and embrace it energetically with wisdom and compassion and peace. And then we're going to then direct our energies to the Pentagon. You can't see the Pentagon from the Washington Monument, but we're going to focus in that direction and embrace it spiritually, energetically, with these healing energies to invoke the balance, to invoke the compassion and wisdom. And,
hey, go ahead and take a tour.
What's that?
Take a tour, but don't tell anybody who you are. Just go on a tour.
Take a tour of the Pentagon?
Just do your thing along the way secretly, you know.
I don't know if we can bring 1,000 people into the Pentagon. And another aspect of this day is we're going to have chocolate stations. It's really important that we have chocolate stations because goddesses need their chocolate.
Yeah.
By the way, every woman is a goddess. If anyone's listening to this and they're thinking, oh, it's those women who look like goddesses. No. Every woman is a goddess. It's not women who happen to have the figure eight, whatever, hourglass figures and all that. And we're also going to have an area that is going to be a healing area where we're encouraging people to write on large sheets of paper, like a collective project of sharing, if they feel guided, if they feel safe enough to do it, to share what they grieve about. It's like a keening space. And we're going to have healers there to support them if things come up and they need support with it. we're going to have a forgiveness space. So to focus on what is it that you feel like you need to forgive in your life? Who do you need to forgive? And what about forgiving yourself? And then another space is going to be on joy and gratitude. You know, what gives you joy and gratitude? And the whole point of this is to write. We were going to do post-its, but we were concerned about the wind on the mall. Who knows if it's windy or not that day. So we're going to have really large sheets of paper, like taped down, and artists helping us sort of design around what people write. I have a whole team of artists. It's a beautiful committee of artists that are so on board with this, and they're brainstorming really creative ways to manifest this. And then another space is going to be envisioning the future. Like, what do you envision as a really beautiful, positive future? And again, to encourage people to share that and write it down. And then the fifth one is personal pledging. Like, what do you personally pledge to do as a result of this event and being active in this day-long ceremony? And in the middle of these spaces, it's going to be a round circle, and there's going to be this really big goddess sculpture with an altar at the base where we're going to encourage people to bring sacred water from wherever they live, and we're going to have a sacred water ceremony either there or we're still figuring some of it out. And a place to burn incense, so we're going to be honoring the fire element there, the mother of fire. But we're also going to have the altars to the four mothers of elements at the corner of the quadrant to anchor the space spiritually and energetically. And there will be people at these corners with singing bowls and gongs, and I'm not sure everything else that we're going to be manifesting, but the whole idea is to make it very high vibration, to sink the energies, these sacred energies, deep into the ground. And that's one of the things I teach in my workshops all the time. It's how to be connected with Earth Mother in a way that's very sacred and powerful. And I teach people about Earth Mother's love cord connection to drop your energy straight down to the center of the planet, Earth Mother's heart. So I'm going to be teaching people that, so that we're really taking in this beautiful divine feminine energy and then anchoring it straight to the center of the planet. I have to tell you, this whole event is overwhelming. It's just overwhelming. Yeah, and I am being tested in ways that it's just pushing me to, oh my gosh, grow so fast, take on things, manifest, juggle, coordinate, negotiate. Oh my gosh. So
take nails.
Sorry?
Kick ass and take names.
Right. So if anybody listening to this is interested, the website is 1000goddesses.net. And it's 1000 as in 1000. Goddesses, plural, goddesses.net. And if they want to find out more on me, they can go to marecromwell.com. And it's Mare, M-A-R-E, Cromwell, C-R-O-M-W-E-L-L.com. They can link from my website to the 1000 Goddesses. This event's gone viral on Facebook, and we haven't even really started to promote it yet through social media, through Twitter or Instagram. We're going to start that up in the next week or 2 weeks. We have some volunteers stepping forward. And, you know, this is actually why I'm at the beach right now. I needed to come and just commune with the great Mother Ocean to just sort of recalibrate and come back to a place of stillness, so that the next few weeks are anchored, you know, with the stillness of the Mother Ocean within me, because this is huge. It's just huge.
Well, we're not going to, you know, we're not going to keep you long. I know you're, you ring off anytime you need to, but it's been fascinating so far.
Thank you. I'm not even really tracking the time right now. I mean, do you have any questions?
Oh,
yeah,
it's about 10 minutes to the top of the hour. Mark, you got any questions?
Well, sometimes it's always interesting to, I don't know if, I forget if she touched on it a little bit or not, but, you know, what was kind of the moment that you really got onto this whole path? Was it the lymphoma thing that triggered, or was there something before that?
Well, you know, the way I answer that question, the way I understand it, is honestly, this is soul contract work. I agreed to do this before I was born, and I have been preparing to do, I've been doing it in little, like, spurts and stops and everything, but the lymphoma is what really kicked me into gear, because I was so scared, and it was a perfect opportunity. It was, the timing was perfect, and there are no coincidences. I really believe I was meant to get the lymphoma, and honestly, I'm rather convinced. I had a gardening business in the Baltimore area for 15 years, and then I moved out to Frederick, west of Baltimore, Frederick, Maryland, gardened a little bit more there. So for 17 years, I gardened professionally after, mind you, leading an international environmental network for a number of years. So, you know, my career has been kind of eclectic, to say the least. But the lymphoma, I know a big chunk of it is sourcing from the fact that I poisoned myself with Roundup in the gardening business. And the crazy thing is I was gardening organically to the nth degree, and I called my business Sacred Gardening, and yet there was this one pernicious weed, Canadian thistle, that the only way to get rid of it was with Roundup, and I made the mistake of following a colleague's advice from another company, gardening company, landscaping company. He said, oh, use the Roundup, you know, concentrate it, don't dilute it, use rubber gloves. Well, I ended up rubbing the upper part of my arm where the skin was exposed above the rubber gloves. And, you know, they've documented that glyphosate will cause lymphoma. But I also have a lot of past life memories of being tortured and being a martyr and being really not treated very well for being, I guess, a powerful woman who stepped forward and had a big mouth or whatever, you know, resisted the patriarchal system, so to speak. And so I have a lot of blocked energy in my lower chakras, which hasn't helped the lymphoma. But I've been healing through all of that, working with some very gifted healers, and Mother's been sending the right people my way, serendipitously, however you want to word it. You know, there are no coincidences. But my first cat, when I was, how old was I? I think 8 years old, I named my first cat Mother Nature. You know, so I've really been connected with Mother for a long, 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 long time. I just didn't realize how connected. And then when I did that ceremony with the gifted Algonquin man, then we got very connected. It's like, I don't, yeah. And people, apparently when people stand next to me, they just feel her. They don't even know what they're feeling, but they feel this energy, and they feel more grounded. And when I do workshops and I lead people through meditations about connecting with Mother, it turns out that I'm spiritually activating them to be more connected with her. And some people get back to me after a while or a week later or so, and they'll be like, God, I've been having the most interesting experiences since your workshop. Like, all of a sudden, I'm seeing nature spirits. You know, there's a dwarf that showed up in my kitchen, and this has never happened before. There's a gnome in the garden. I've never seen them before. I'm thinking, okay. Because I work with the nature spirits. I love working with them, but I don't see them. I have the clairaudience and the clairsentience that some of my attendees, well, let's just say they get woken up. Which, again, gets back to what Mark said in his Mayan reading. Yeah.
Well, going back to the reading, remember that Three of Howls showed up in two places.
Yeah.
And the next a howl after Three of Howls is Four of Howls. And Four of Howls has an importance maybe for you, too. Because Four Howl is, if you've ever seen a picture, talking about goddesses and such, of Our Lady of Guadalupe.
Oh yeah.
If you'll notice, there's a symbol over her womb, and it's a four-petal flower. And another name for a howl would be for flower. And that particular apparition and image appeared in Tepeyac, a little bit north and I think east of the side of Mexico City in 1531. And it's very close to the complex of Teotihuacan. Pyramid of the Sun, Pyramid of the Moon, Pyramid of or Temple of Quetzalcoatl. Underneath the Pyramid of the Sun, like three a howl, four a howl, sun, is a cave. I forget what year it was found, but they think it's highly significant. They think the entire complex at Teotihuacan may have been built there because of this cave. Some people even connect the cave to the Hopis' caves that they came out of an emergence, and other people too. But the cave is shaped like a four-petal flower, just like the four-petal flower on the womb of Our Lady of Guadalupe. So I would suggest that you might want to do a little bit more learning and connection and the whole thing with Our Lady of Guadalupe. She appeared, and that image has been tested.
Yeah.
She found that the pigment that made it is not a it's not made out of mineral, plant, animal, any pigmentation, naturally occurring pigmentation. It should, the material it's made out of is agave, and it should have fell apart, you know, 40 years after it appeared. Now it's, what, close to 500 years old. They found in analyzing it, the image is actually wrapped around the fibers. It's not painted on. They don't know how it got on there, but they know it's something highly unusual. And there's all kind of, in the eyes, there's been, I don't know, five or six people that have analyzed and magnified her eyes of Our Lady of Guadalupe, and they actually found images. There's ophthalmologists that analyzed her eyes and said the images and the stuff in the eyes matched the human curvature of the eyeball. They actually found images in her eyes of the people that were in the room, like the bishop, Juan Diego, and several other people that were in the room at the time. This was done by IBM, high-resolution scans, all kinds of stuff. So I would say you might be interested in doing a little bit of research and connecting in to the whole thing with Our Lady of Guadalupe. And has the timing of when that apparition occurred has a parallel with what's getting ready and starting to occur on Earth right now. There's a similarity in the weather and the cycle patterns of the planet between back then and where we're headed. We're in it actually right now and heading more into it in the next 10 years or so or so. So you might be interested in looking at that whole thing about Our Lady of Guadalupe and the Pyramid of the Sun and that cave sitting underneath it.
Very interesting. You know, again, after this event's over, my life will hopefully come back to me. very, very interesting. I've never been to Mexico. It's just for some reason, it's never called to me to go. I've spent time in Belize and Costa Rica and Ecuador. Fascinating. I do work with the Virgin Mary spiritually, and I also work, Mary Magdalene's been coming in more recently, and Kuan Yin, and I call them the mother team, you know, so I don't just work with Earth Mother, I mean, I work with the mother team, and Our Lady of Guadalupe is not one that I usually invoke, but this
well,
is going to,
also,
you know,
I was talking with a lady years ago, around 2006 or 7, and she did a lot of work with the Lakota, and she had quite a connection with the whole thing with the white buffalo and white buffalo
nope.
Keffel.
Yeah, she's powerful.
And I talked with her a little bit about this thing with Guadalupe. I don't know, I was just kind of motivated to do it. And she asked me, she said, well, Mark, when did that happen? And I said, well, 1531. And she thought about it for a minute. She says, you know, that was right around the same time as one of the apparitions of the White Buffalo Cattleman. And
wow.
So there's a very, and if you look at the stories of the White Buffalo Cattleman, one of them says she mentions there's something in Nicholas Black Elk's about a four-petal flower healing herb, four colors, like a medicine wheel flower. And
huh.
Also in hers, she told him, I am connected into the four ages, and I will return at each of the ages, including the last one. And the sign of the return will be the white buffalo calves being born.
Yeah.
But there's that four thing showing up again. And those four ages are also on the womb on her. Those symbolize four world cycles and the fifth one in the center. And
can
so,
you say that it represents what?
On the four-petal flower that's over her womb on the image of Guadalupe.
Oh, right, okay.
Each of those flower petals would be a world cycle. So the upper, well, it depends on which way you're looking at. As you're looking at it, if you're looking at the upper right would be the first, upper left would be the second, and then third right below it, and then fourth on the other side, and then fifth in the center. So that would go to the Hopi five world cycles too. But the that connects in basically that, you know, the Lakota elders, two or three of them, unequivocally said the white buffalo calf woman is the Virgin Mary. And the Virgin of Guadalupe, obviously, is also the Virgin Mary. So the white buffalo calf woman and Our Lady of Guadalupe are one in the same.
You know, I have heard things similar to that, and that's very interesting. That's very interesting. You know, I have never shared this on a radio show, and I've only shared this with very, very few friends, but I'm being guided to share this right now with you guys, that I had a pretty wild experience. You know, I mean, I'm a mystic. I can communicate with spirit. Nature spirits talk to me. The trees talk to me. Mother's talking to me. So last fall, when I got the initial message that I needed to organize this Thousand Goddesses gathering, someone directed me to go to a Buddhist monastery that's south of where I live in Maryland. And this Buddhist monastery has a number of stupas. And I don't know if you guys focus very much on Buddhism or know very much about it. I'm not a student of Buddhism myself. I've been studying with native teachers. But the stupas will, as I understand, usually have a relic within them that is associated to a specific teacher who died long, 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 long ago, somewhere in Tibet or, you know, somewhere in Asia like that. And so when I went to this Buddhist monastery to check it out to see if it would be a good place to have this Thousand Goddesses gathering, The monk who was giving me the tour said, well, I want to take you for a tour across the road. We have some stupas there, and there's a trail. And I said, okay. So we went to the first stupa, and we did the customary perambulation where you walk four times around the base of it. It's pretty big, you know. I mean, it's, I don't know how high, 40 feet high or so, and I don't know, 30 feet by 30 feet across. So as we're walking away, though, he said, I want to take you now to see, and I guess it was another stupa, I don't know. As we're walking away, I hear this voice call out to me from the spirit realm to say, no, you can't leave yet. You must come back. I have a message for you. And, you know, and I said to the monk, I said, well, we can't walk away yet. I have to go back because someone's communicating with me, and I don't know who it is. So there's a bench across from it. We sat in the bench the monk sat next to me, and I just tuned in, and I asked. I said, well, are you a nature spirit? And the answer was no. And I went, oh, are you the teacher or the lama? I mean, the tulku or the Rinpoche, or I don't even know the title, who this stupa was built for or to. And the answer was yes. And I went, oh, okay. I said, well, do you have a message for me then? Is there something you would like to communicate with me? And he said, it was masculine. He said, he essentially said to me that I'm one of the women on earth right now who really embodies the mother and is here to do significant work for the mother. And not just Earth Mother, but the mother, you know, in the Gestalt sense of the mothers, this goddess, you know, whatever. I mean, I shouldn't even say whatever. It's more than whatever. But, I mean, I sat there and, you know, I kind of took that in and went, oh, okay, that's kind of wild. And then the conversation wasn't very long. Then I asked this powerful, beautiful being, I said, well, are you associated with other religions other than Buddhism? I was just curious. And the answer was yes, that this Rinpoche, and I think he had lived in the 1300s somewhere in Tibet. I mean, we're going way back. And so it wasn't really a long conversation, but let's just say it was kind of mind-blowing. Yeah, we walked back to the monastery, and I talked to some of the nuns there who had been, you know, followers of the teacher there. And I said, well, you know, I had this kind of wild experience out there talking to the Rinpoche or whoever who was associated with the stupa. They were like, really? I went, yeah. So I know the Sows and Goddesses gathering is what I'm meant to do. And it's testing me to the max, and yet it's, I don't know. You know, life's an adventure. And I really tell people, I said, you know what, I'm really not very special. I'm really not. And the subtitle of my book, The Great Mother Bible, is, or I'd rather be gardening. I'd really rather be gardening. It's far more peaceful than the kind of stuff I'm doing now. It's much easier. Yeah. You know, my pay was pretty good. I mean, my clients, you know, they paid me pretty well because I really took care of their gardens really well. And these were high-end clients.
Yeah.
But this is what I'm supposed to be doing because these are interesting times, and I'm supposed to be doing work at this level. And I don't know, you know. Anyway, we've been chatting for a while. I should let you guys go. And I haven't even eaten my dinner yet. I should get off here so I can eat my dinner.
Let's go ahead and ring up. I know you're tired, and us too here. I've got some things to take care of. I'm a caregiver for somebody. So, hey, appreciate you coming on.
Yeah, thank you. And again, for those who want to learn more about me, I mean, all my books are online at, you know, all the virtual bookstores, Amazon, whatever, and they're all e-books.
Go to your website. Go to our website. Link is right on the page for the interview.
Yeah. But again, it's just Mare Cromwell, marecromwell.com. And the 1000goddesses.net is happening October 22nd on the Washington Mall, right next to the Washington Monument. And we're going to dance to the White House and embrace it spiritually and dance back. And,
Did you come by the were you born a Cromwell?
Yeah, I was born a Cromwell.
Oh, that's quite a family. That's some real deep history there.
Yeah, you think?
Yeah.
We'll get into that.
And thanks a lot, Mark.
I think I'm descended from his brother, from Oliver Cromwell's brother. That's what I've heard.
Well, God bless. We appreciate you. And thanks a lot, Mark.
All right, good night, everybody.
Thank you, Mark. That was very interesting. And thank you, Blue Otter. This was a
you
treat.
You betcha. Good night, everybody.
Take care. Bye-bye.
Huh.
Hi, friends. This is Will Bluewater. If you have been listening to our program for long, then you know that Mark the Badger Borcherding does a Mayan birth reading for each of our interview guests. Mark suggested that he give away a free reading for each donation of $20 or more to Prophecy Keepers Radio, a ministry of Oklahoma Native American Church or the White Roots of Peace. So please support Prophecy Keepers Radio by making your free will offering at nativeamericanchurch.us, and you'll receive this gift reading. If you choose to make a recurring donation, once you've received your own reading, you can give readings away as free gifts. So why not head over to nativeamericanchurch.us and make an offering right now. Hope to be talking with you soon. Bye now.
Sometimes they have to kill us. They have to kill us. Because they can't break our spirit.
Encouraging you to obtain an authorized participant or AP card and become a federally recognized Native religious practitioner. Presently, Oklahoma Native American Church is the only Native American church spiritually blessed by the Rosebud Reservation Native American Church and has a certificate of existence in the state of Utah that is authorized to worship on or off tribal grounds and has met the standard of sincerity and vow of poverty standards
in the state of Utah and federal courts. This card is designed to assist all people regardless of their racial makeup, political affiliation, social and/or financial status, and receiving their constitutional rights. This card is also designed to assist United States judicial officials to honor their solemn oath to protect and exercise the principles of the United States Constitution while carrying out their duty and serving their fellow citizens. To join the movement that is strengthening and exercising the principles of the United States Constitution, please obtain your AP card by visiting NativeAmericanChurch.us today.
Dry ground, sagebrush and mesquite and chaparral around, out away is a big dust devil moving on its way. I guess they're never still. In a sacred manner I live, to the heavens I gaze. In a sacred manner I live. My horses are many. The high grass and the cedar, the mighty oak and the tiny flower, the sandstone in the valley, mountains high.